Let us join together in singing our opening hymn, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believe. Good morning. As you look in your bulletin, you'll see the announcements that you have for the coming week. Pastor is on vacation, and Jay Hall and I, are, of course, are doing the service this morning, and that's why we're here. The only other announcement that I have is to let you know that Kermit Kaler is in the hospital at Detour in Victoria, and would appreciate your prayers for him. Are there any other announcements? If there are none, we'll continue with our service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is you comes as King, who comes in the name of the Lord.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
I will hear what the Lord God has to say. Peace for all people and for his friends.
And those who turn to him in their hearts.
His help is near for those who fear him.
And his glory will live in our land.
Blessed is he who comes as King, who comes in the name of the Lord.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And he forgave the iniquity of my sins.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them and repent of them and pray for your boundless mercy for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being, forgiving my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to everlasting. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. O Jesus, Son of Righteousness, rise on our hearts and enlighten us with the brightness of your coming, that we who rejoice in the sure word of your promise, we may not be put to shame at your coming in glory. Through your mercy, O God, who with the Holy Spirit live and govern all things, now and forever. Amen. Let us sing the first verse of Light One Candle. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Protect us by your strength and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning, we'll read Psalm 25, verses 1 through 9, responsively by whole verse. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none look to you with shame. Let the treacherous be disappointed in your schemes.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in his way.
He guides the humble in doing right, and teaches his way to the lowly.
All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Our second lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and of the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
All right, children, if you are here in the sanctuary, can you please come up for the children's message? It's a little bit cold outside. Is anyone used to the weather yet? Did y'all have a good Thanksgiving? What'd you have for dessert? Pumpkin pie, pecan pie? Did your dad shoot a deer yet? Is it deer season yet? Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect, 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 perfect. How many of you have been hunting with your dad? Has your dad taken you hunting? Okay,
let me ask you a weird question.
When he sees the animal, does he just take out his gun and shoot? What does he do? He looks for it, he loads the rifle, he puts it up, looks down the barrel, the scope, makes sure everything is good, right? Puts the bullet where it needs to be, he's focused. Okay, have you ever seen your dad that focused before? Perfect, good. Because in our story, Jesus is that focused. He's not focused on a deer. He's focused on a person. You see, Jesus, in our story today, they are at the temple with his disciples. There is an offering plate where people are dropping off their tithe. And remember, a tithe is us giving money back to God. Not because God needs money, but because it's our way of saying, thank you for the blessings, God. Here's some money back. The second reason why we give money to God is because we are saying, I trust you. And in our story from the book of Mark, Jesus is looking at a woman very intensely, kind of like your dad does, just before he shoots a deer. Jesus sits down the opposite place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd put their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few pennies. So this lady, she only had a couple pennies to her name. She was down to the last pennies. We don't know if she had a job. We do know she was a widow. That means her husband is long past. We don't know if she had a son to take care of her. We don't know if she had food for the next day. We don't know if she went to the market to go buy food. Maybe she was going to go with those pennies and go to the baker and say, can I have some bread? No, not the top shelf bread from today, but 2 days ago bread. Maybe she was going to go to the shepherd and say, shepherd, I only have 2 pennies. Can you give me the goat milk? No, no, not the fresh one, but the old one. Maybe she was going to go down to the women and say, can I have some yarn? No, 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 not the good yarn over there, but the cheap yarn. I need to make a blanket to keep warm. We don't know what this woman was doing, but we do know that Jesus was focused solely on her. In fact, as I drew it here, here's Jesus in the red. Here's everybody, his disciples in the green, all the people, and there's the woman in the pink in this picture. And as he's looking at her, slowly everybody else disappears because he's focused on what she's about to do. And she comes into the offering and drops in her 2 pennies, which is why I say this giving money to God is not just saying thank you, but it's saying I have faith in you and I trust you. This woman would have been better off keeping her money and maybe dropping one. Or maybe she could have said, I'll come back next week when I have more money. But she didn't. She didn't. With her last 2 pennies, she gave her final offering to God, which means she trusts in God enough that says, I'll be taken care of when I leave this temple. And Jesus, being ever so impressed, told his disciples, come over here. And he points to the woman and says, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into that treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth. She gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, everything she had to live on. And by doing so, she's telling God, I trust you to take care of me. When you go downstairs to Sunday school, I see all of you put a dollar in the basket. You do not know this, except for today, I'm telling you. You are putting that dollar in the basket because you are telling God, thank you for the blessings. And the second reason you're putting that dollar in the basket is because you're telling God, I trust you with my family. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This Sunday, we once again are ending the season of Advent, the first day of the church calendar year. The season of Advent lasts 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas, as we have a sense of expectation and anticipation of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe Jesus is the light of the world, and as we move through this period of time, our expectations and anticipations grows. During the 4 Sundays preceding Christmas, Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus, recognizing 4 virtues. These virtues are represented by the 4 candles on the Advent wreath, symbolizing hope, love, joy, and peace. And so the candles are lit in that order as we did beginning today. Advent is a period of waiting in darkness, a season in which we are caught between the joyful expectation and anticipation of our Savior and the harsh realities of the present world in which we live. The season puts us at odds with the way in which most of us live our lives, in which the holiday season consists of bright lights and celebrations and packages tied with neat bows. We hear sounds of holiday music blaring and crowds hustling and bustling and people rushing here and there. Ironically, this experience of being out of sync with our surroundings may attune us more deeply to the nature of Advent. In Advent, we live in the unsettling tension between what is and what will be. The message recorded here in Luke indicates that Christians are wrestling with the question of time, and more accurately, timing. In particular, the question at hand is when the promised return of Jesus and the consummation of history will occur. With the thought of Christ's return, Jesus speaks about the end of the world in words and images that sound foreign to us. He says, There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The picture of the coming events are meant to awaken us out of our spiritual slumber before Christ's return. While the world will see these signs and quakes will quake with terror, the redeemed will recognize them as a prelude to the coming of our Savior. However, one thing is certain. He is telling us to be alert as we wait. Waiting slows us down, but it speeds up our anticipation and makes us anxious. It encourages emotional reactions, and we have trouble listening while we're waiting in fear, perhaps. Luke is, in fact, downright vague about when Jesus will return, refusing to offer any hint of a timetable. He asserts that, just as budding of fig leaves unmistakably herald the advent of summer, so also will the signs of the coming kingdom be transparent to the Christian. Whatever rumor Luke's listeners may have heard about the coming end, and no matter what rumors are yet to come, the believer is to remain steadfast in its ministry, trusting that Jesus will provide the necessary words and inspiration that all may witness to the gospel through the word, deed, and the prayer, and in all situations. Whatever the circumstances, we as Christians should be alert and ready for the coming of our Savior Jesus. We should not be caught up in the excessive pleasures or worries of the day, but rather remain watchful. At the same time, we should be confident and eager for the events Jesus describes will be most worrisome for the world and the powers of heaven. The coming of Jesus will therefore be threatening to the powers that be, just as it was at his birth, but will bring relief to his believers. We need words of encouragement when the daily news bombards us with distressing images, not unlike our gospel lesson. The gospel speaks of the signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, of distress among nations and of people will faint with fear and terror. Perhaps times are a bit scary as we hear of the news sources of today. We see elected representatives of both political parties in Washington who seem morally and politically incapable of doing the people's business and preventing economic disruptions that threaten the welfare of our nation. We read of conflicts around the world and of the hardship that is placed on people trying to escape the hunger and homelessness. We can't avoid the military strife and the loss of innocent lives. We've experienced destructive hurricanes, and we hear so much about climate change and how it will affect the future. We worry about the world and that we're leaving for our children and grandchildren. Texts such as this from the Gospel of Luke come across most of our hearers as a bit alien, perhaps, strange, or maybe even a bit apprehensive. Truth be told, whatever worries we may occasionally have about a nuclear and environmental holocaust, most people probably express little day-to-day concern about the end of the world and even less about Jesus' second coming. As we continue to hear of the rumors of wars, we are not to be alarmed. However, for this all must take place, not for worry, but for great joy. When believers see the events happening, they will know that the return of Christ is near and that they can look forward to a sign of justice and peace. Rather than being terrified by what is happening in our world, we should confidently await Christ's return to bring justice and restoration to his people. The picture of the coming persecution and natural disasters is gloomy, but ultimately it is a cause Luke gives us even greater reason to have hope. We must stand up and lift our heads because our redemption is drawing near. Will he return? Yes, he will. Jesus told his disciples to keep constant watch for his return. Although nearly 2,000 years ago and has passed since Jesus spoke these words, their truth still remains. He is coming again, and we need to be watchful and spiritually fit for the occasion. This means working faithfully at the tasks God has given us. Luke says not to let our minds and spirits be dulled by the careless living, drinking, or the foolish pursuits of pleasure, but be detached from the problems of life and be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. In Hebrews 9:28, it says, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." This is a reminder to us on this first Sunday in Advent that we have reason to be hopeful. Jesus is telling us today that in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, in the midst of oppression and poverty, in the midst of our own personal losses, we have every reason to be of good cheer, to raise our heads in confidence, and to look for the Lord Jesus because he is near. Advent is a time of universal change. The lighting of the candles on the Advent wreath reminds us to purge away all fear and discouragement. Let this light be a source of hope, love, and joy and peace. Advent calls us to be alert, to be watchful, but stay engaged in the work of being Christ's body in the world. On this planet, the church is the only body. He has no hands but our hands, no feet to go unless our own feet go, no face to mirror the love of our face. As we journey down the road to Bethlehem, let us do all we can to be instruments of love, grace, and peace, letting our lives be a fitting shelter for the Savior's birth. Amid the very real setbacks and disappointments or worries of this life, we can stand up and raise our heads because we have heard Jesus' promise that our redemption is near. You see, it's not just a Christmas story, rather the entire redemptive story that hinges on one thing, the eternal willingness of Jesus. Without his willingness, you and I would be without hope and without God. Without his willingness, we would be left with the power of curse and sin. Without his willingness, we would be eternally damned. So during this season of celebrating, don't forget to stop and celebrate your Savior's willingness. You see, the Advent story reminds us that our past, present, and future hope rests not on our willingness, but on the willingness of the one whom the angels sang, the shepherds worshiped, and the magi searched. Willing Jesus is the only hope for unwilling sinners. Today, you have hope, not because people like you or because situations are easy, but because God has placed his unshakable love on you. Jesus is your hope as you live in a world where hope is a precious and a rare commodity. His willingness is your hope in life, death, and eternity. God bless you to that end. Amen. Let us join in singing our hymn of the day, Blessed Assurance.
for the confession of faith. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He is come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. For the church, the world, and for one another, and for the sake of all people, let us pray to the Lord. How precious is your love, dear Father, and how vast your mercy. You made solemn promises to Israel and through them to the world. In Jesus, your promises find their eternal yes. Prepare our hearts for his threefold coming among us, as the babe of Bethlehem, veiled in human flesh, as head of the church, veiled in word and sacrament, and as king of the universe, veiled only in robes of light and love, the glorious yes, who fulfills your ancient promises and our eternal heart's desires. Lord, in your mercy. Fill your church with your Holy Spirit, so may it instruct sinners in your way. Strengthen it in holiness. Give it boldness to proclaim your word that shall never pass away. Make it abound in love, especially when persecuted, so that its enemies do not exalt, but instead repent and believe the good news. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the Jews, the flesh and blood kindred of Jesus, and our elder brothers and sisters in faith. Banish hatred of them from every heart. Unite us with them in faith toward you and fervent love for one another under the glorious and gentle rule of the Messiah. Lord, in your mercy. Teach us to live at peace with each other. Help seek your will, not our own. Let us use whatever power and authority we have for the common good. Give wisdom, integrity, and common sense to our elected and appointed leaders and to all who risk their lives in defense of liberty, justice, health, and peace. Lord, in your mercy. We plead on behalf of everyone who needs your merciful care and glorious deliverance. Especially we remember Bonnie Kaiser and Kermit Kaler. And we pray for Pastor Tim to give him a safe journey in his travels. Gladden their hearts, heal their bodies, uphold their spirits with your own Holy Spirit. Surround them with the love and care of all who hold them dear. Merciful Father, we entrust into your never-failing care our beloved dead. Ease the sorrow of those whose grief runs deep. Revive our spirits. Direct our days and our deeds in your peace, and make us abound in love and in every good work. Strengthen our hearts with the gift of your Spirit, so that we may be blameless at the coming of Jesus, and gather us with all the redeemed into your eternal kingdom. where we shall rejoice in your goodness and righteousness forever. Lord, in your mercy. For all these things, for all we lift before you in the silence of our hearts, and for everything that you know we need, we pray in the name and power of our Lord Jesus Christ and commend into your mighty and merciful hands. Amen. We will now take up the offering. Let us pray. O mighty one, you have done great things for us, and holy is your name. Bless all we offer you, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, that through us your grace and favor may be known to all the world. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. When the congregation last gathered together for the celebration of Holy Communion, we heard again the wonderful story of God's mighty acts and the love shown to him in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, with thanksgiving, we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all the people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We were given assurance of our Lord's presence through the gift of his Holy Spirit. Now we receive the same bread of life and the same cup of blessing, that we may be strengthened through these gifts. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Please stand. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We close with the hymn, Joy to the World. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.